sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
You're listening to That's a Freebie, the only podcast that mixes all the latest news from my little world with interesting stories from the rest of the rest of the world. I suppose that's your world as well. I am your host, Diggy, and as usual, I'm going to open up with an Ask a Freebie question. This is where I answer questions from all of you. This week's question is an anonymous question, and it actually says, you've previously told us about your favourite food, but what is your second favourite food? Yeah, that's true. I have. I've probably told you about it more than once, actually. For those that don't remember, it's pizza. It seems to come up often because I get asked about the pineapple on pizza question an awful lot. And so that's why it comes up so often, really. But my second favourite food, I think I would have to, if I was really pushed for an answer, I would probably say it is burritos. I do love myself a good burrito. I'm not very good at making them, though. I just cannot wrap a burrito to save my life. In fact, I think I've just decided what we're having for tea tonight. I might try and make burritos with the kids. They would probably find that quite fun. And it would be messy, which I'm not a fan of mess, but they are fans of mess. Personally, I like pulled pork and like roasted red peppers and usually garlic rice and probably black beans in my burritos. With some avocado, well, it's not avocado, guacamole, same difference, and a bit of cheese. Although being lactose intolerant, I am really trying to stop eating as much cheese as I do lately, so I probably won't be making cheese this time around. Well, I never make cheese, just, you know, to throw that out there, I don't make my own cheese. That would be gross. I buy it in a packet and use that. So, yeah, burritos, probably my second favourite food. If you would like to ask a question to open up the show, all you need to do is go to the show notes or thatsafreebie.com where you can find a link to the new, brand new, multi-purpose feedback form. It not only allows you to submit and ask a freebie question, but it allows you to submit suggestions for podtails and for general feedback too. I do actually keep forgetting to mention this in podtails. It's just because of the way my show planner document is laid out. When I do the podtail section, I go to a different document and use that to essentially, not read, but prompt me to remember what to say there. And then I end the section in there. And I always forget when I go back to the main document. There's a little bit in there that says, remember to ask people to send podtails suggestions in. And I keep forgetting. So I'm going to say it now. You can send in your own suggestions for podtails. I would love to know what you guys would love me to research and then talk about. Let's get on with the rest of the show. Immediately after recording the previous episode, like immediately after, I hadn't even put my equipment away or anything, I went to put the washing machine on. So what I usually do on a Monday morning is I load the washing machine up, ready to go. But obviously I don't want it on in the background while I'm recording the podcast. So I'd already filled the washing machine up with all the clothes, but I realized that I'd forgotten to put the washing tab in the washing machine. So I reached down into the little tub that we have that has them in. It's under a cupboard. I put my hand in, and when I put my hand in, there was something sharp in there. It hurt quite a bit, actually. And I stuck my hand in, and it hurt. So I pulled it out. I went, ow. And then when I looked in to see what it was, there was a little spider in there. Now, I could only assume that the spider bit me because there's nothing else sharp in there. So I should probably warn you that this might be the last ever episode of the show because I assume that one day my superpowers are going to kick in. And when they do, I'm going to have to start a life of fighting crime because that's what you've got to do if you get superpowers, right? So, if you don't hear from me next week, it's either because I didn't get a chance to record because of the school holidays, or it's because I got superpowers. So have a look on the news. If you find out that there's a new Spider-Man in town, that's me. Although maybe I shouldn't say that. You know what? Forget that. I didn't get bit by a spider at all. I don't know what any of you are talking about. This is rubbish. I'm going to give you an update on the mini game instead. If you recall, the mini game is where we Look out for minis whilst driving down the road. Wish out mini. The person who spots the mini first gets a point. The points are actually quite high at the moment. In fact, I'm just going to quickly jump to the app just to give you an idea. So currently, I've got 74 minis. Fina has got 59 minis. And Tobias has got 95 minis. And Mum has got 20 minis. But like I've said before, she's not in the car very often with us. So there is a good reason for that. It's not that she's bad at spotting minis. She's actually really good at spotting minis, except Toby is unbelievably good at spotting minis. Now, what did happen is on the last day of school, we had had a distinct lack of minis over the course of the week. Like we saw hardly any, and it was his turn in the front of the car. So he was a bit like, I've not seen many minis this week, Dad. I'm like, yeah, he's obviously seen loads since. But he said, the head teacher at the school was leaving, as in it was her last day at the school and she was leaving. So he said, Dad, I think what we should probably do today, in honour of named teacher leaving, why don't we not spot minis this morning? So I was like, okay, if that's what you want to do, yeah, that's fine. If you feel like that's what your teacher would want, then that's fine by me. Anyway, we must have seen about 27 minis then on the way to work. and he said, Dad, you know, thinking about it, I don't think she'll care. Can I have all the minis that we've seen? And no, I didn't let him have them. but we did start spotting them from then on, and we got quite a few that morning. And bearing in mind, it's only a 10-minute journey. Yeah, it was quite humorous that we saw none until we said we weren't counting them anymore. And it's funny, actually, because I do keep trying to not spot them to give the others a chance to see them, because I was really far ahead at one point. I'm obviously not anymore, but I keep trying to not spot them. And the problem is now I've got so good at not spotting them that I don't spot them, which means that he's getting loads. I did also, yesterday I had to get the bus home from work because of some issues with the tram, and I forgot. Because I was on the road and driving, I forgot that I wasn't driving, and I yelled at Minnie on the bus, and quite a few people looked at me like I was a bit of an idiot. They were correct. You know where I've been saying for several weeks now that I'm going to, well, that not I'm going to, that we have got a pool for the back garden that we just need to get set up. Well, we've finally done it. Finally. It involved us having to clear out the back garden. Like one specific area, the back garden is actually in pretty good shape, as I've mentioned before, but there is a specific area of the back garden that's been quite bad for a while because it's the bit you can't see. It's behind the garage and it's just like the flagged area. And it's just it's basically where we put all the toys that the kids have had over the years, and everything just gets dumped there, really. It's, you know, don't get me wrong, it's not been terrible. It's acceptable, but it really needed sorted out. And getting the pool was the thing that gave us the push to get that done. So what we've done is we've obviously cleared it all out, taken it to the tip, took four trips to the tip to get rid of everything. But there was a lot of big stuff as well, awful lot of spiders. So they're all in the tip now, hopefully. There's none left in our house whatsoever. That's what I'm choosing to believe, which is obviously not true. Anyway, we cleared it all out. We got the pool set up. Stupidly, we didn't realise that our hose pipe doesn't actually reach to where we needed to fill the pool up. So we had to order a new hose pipe. We went to a certain brand of DIY store that sells things like that. And the hose pipe that was the right length would have cost us £75. We bought the same one. Like, when I mean the same one, it's the same brand and everything, same packaging. We got the same one on Amazon for £12. And of course, that's why everybody shops at Amazon. People call Amazon for all kinds of reasons, but that's why. Like, there's a massive difference in price there. And it arrived and it's perfect. It does exactly what we needed it to do. And we set it up, and the box for the pool says it takes about 20 minutes to fill, which I found a bit unbelievable given the size. Like, I'm not talking a small pool here. It's a big pool, in the scheme of what I would consider paddling pools. It's not really a paddling pool. It is really a pool. It fits Me, the wife, both children in it, fine. Like, we could stretch it, we could starfish, and we will not even touch one another. And you could probably fit another three or four people in it at the same time as well. In fact, while I've been at work over the week, the kids' cousins have been round, and they've all been playing in it, and there's loads of room in it. It's big, right? And I was like, 20 minutes to fill that up? I don't think so. So the hose pipe arrived, and we started filling it up at roughly about 5 p.m. in the evening. So I thought it's going to take a couple of hours, so they could at least have a little splash in it before it's time to like have supper, go to bed, whatever it is they do. Anyway, it took 9 hours to fill up, so they didn't get to go into it till the day after, and it was absolutely freezing the day after, because of course it had been just left open all night, filling up. Well, we didn't leave it filling up all night. What we did, we left it running till, I think we left it running till about 10 o'clock, and then we put it back on at 7 a.m. in the morning and topped it up. And then by dinner time, they were able to go in it. But it was so cold. I got in it for like 2 or 3 minutes, and I couldn't feel my legs afterwards. It felt like I was being stabbed by icicles. However, Toby loved it, spent the entire day in it. Since then, it's warmed up, obviously, because it's reached ambient temperatures with the air around it. So it's a lot better to get inside of now. It's got a nice little pump to keep it clean, and a little chlorine floater that you put inside it to help keep the water clean. So it's looking great, and they are loving it. I've not had much chance to go in it yet because I've been working, and today's supposed to be a sunny day. It's currently not. It's very cloudy, but nice and warm. So you never know. Maybe we'll get in it a little bit later on. I ran out of breath then. This is the part of the show where I get to tell something to buzz off. This week, I'm going to tell the story first, because the thing I'm telling to buzz off is probably not what you'd think it is. So I'm on the tram the other day. I've noticed a lot of these involve the tram. You can tell what annoys me, travel. I actually don't mind that. I don't mind the travel. I mind the other people on the travel. If I could just travel without having to drive and not have to speak to a single other person, it'd be great. But I'm on the tram, and I sit down on the tram, and I'm sort of in the... So on the tram, there's two seats, an aisle, then two seats next to it. And I sat in the two seats next to this guy who sat on the tram. And then shortly after the tram setting off, like within seconds, I realised that he's on a video call with somebody. I don't know who it was, but he's on a video call, and he's holding the phone up. He's got it on loudspeaker on full volume, which I hate anyway. And the other person is absolutely berating him. Like, I couldn't tell what was being said because they weren't speaking in English, but you could tell she was absolutely berating him, and he kept trying to interrupt. He's going, but, and she just kept on hammering him for the entire journey, right? But the worst part is he had headphones in, so he wasn't even playing the sound through the headphones. He just had it on loudspeaker so that we could all hear it. Now, I don't know if he thought that we couldn't hear and that he was listening through his headphones and he hadn't realized he wasn't, or was he just listening to music on his headphones and not even listening to her and just making us listen to her? I don't know. It was really, really weird. And so the thing that I'm telling to buzz off there is not him, it's her. Because he clearly had enough, right? Like, there's no need to berate somebody like that. Like, you see it often. Like, you see people having a go at one another in the streets and things like that. And you see it a lot with couples who are clearly just frustrated with one another. I get it. You know, that happens. Although we don't have that kind of problem, actually. We would never talk to one another like that, but some people do, right? So he's getting berated, and she needs to chill out, right? Like, there's no need to have a go at somebody so maliciously and constantly over the course of the morning. The whole journey took about 20 minutes, and she didn't stop. He got off at the stop before me, and he just put his head in his hands as he got off, and he was like, oh no. And you could see he just had enough. It was a shame. So, as much as he was annoying having it on speaker and while he's got his headphones in, I could understand what he was doing was probably to just try and not have the beration going on, the poor guy. And the other thing, I've got a bonus one for you this week because it's related to the tram as well. I did notice, and this is more of a stupid, funny thing that really sums up the Metrolink, that I'm reading the board that says the tram times on it. And there's a little thing underneath that says, we're currently having a problem with our phone line. If you have any queries at all, call this alternative number. And it had the alternative phone number up. And then when I'm on the tram, I noticed that all of the posters that were on the tram saying, you know, if this is our customer services, any inquiries for Metrolink, call this number. It was the same number. So I was like, that's quite funny. I typed in the number into my phone just to see, rang it, and of course the line wasn't working. So the temporary number that they put up on the board was their actual number that was having a problem. That's incompetence at the highest level, that. This week's Podtails is the start of the Summer of Sleep. The Summer of Sleep is where I talk about different sleep-related subjects. This week I'm going to be talking about lucid dreams. But before I do that, I do want to just remind you all, because I'll forget at the end, that you can submit your own topics for Podtails for me to research and talk about by using the multi-purpose feedback form on thatsafreebie.com. Or by just going to the show notes, and there is a link to it there. The best way to get to anything, actually, is in the show notes, because I always add a little bit of extra content in there as well. So there's usually links to things that are related to what I've talked about in the show. So, yeah, do feel free to check that out. But you might be thinking to yourself, Diggy, what is lucid dreaming? Well, imagine you're in a dream, and suddenly you actually realize that you're dreaming. Welcome to the world of lucid dreaming. A lucid dream is when a dreamer becomes aware they are dreaming while still in the dream. And guess what? This incredible ability is a trainable skill. Now, I've got to admit, I have kind of tried this in the past, but I always get a bit worried about how vivid the dreams might get. So I don't think I've ever 100% put myself into it, but I'd be interested to know if anybody out there has, that's listening, obviously. I know there are people that has. In a lucid dream, you might even gain some control over the dream's characters, storyline, or environment. However, the main features of lucid dreaming isn't just about controlling your dreams. It's about being conscious of the fact that you're dreaming. Lucid dreams are different from pre-lucid and vivid dreams, although they often come with enhanced vividness. So let's look a little bit into the history of lucid dreams. Because lucid dreaming isn't a new concept. It's been studied and celebrated for centuries, from ancient Eastern practices to modern Western research. In ancient India and Tibet, lucid dreaming was an integral part of spiritual practices. Hindu practitioners engaged in yoga nidra, a state of conscious sleep, while Tibetan Buddhists practiced dream yoga to gain enlightened and deeper self-awareness. And the Greeks were way ahead of their time with lucid dreaming. Aristotle noted that often when one is asleep, there is something in consciousness which declares that what then presents itself is but a dream. And Galen used lucid dreams therapeutically, and St. Augustine, can't speak today, and Saint Augustine's letters contain accounts of lucid dreaming experiences, and by the Renaissance, figures like Sir Thomas Browne and Samuel Pepys were documenting their lucid dreams, reflecting a continued fascination with the phenomenon. So what about the science behind lucid dreaming? Modern research on lucid dreaming kicked off with the likes of Stephen LaBerge, the pioneering psychologist from Stanford University. He founded the Lucidity Institute and developed methods to study and induce lucid dreams. His work revealed fascinating insights like the fact that lucid dreams happen during REM sleep and that dreamers can send signals from their dreams to the waking world using eye movements. Paul Tholey, a German Gestalt psychologist, also contributed significantly to the field. He identified 7 conditions a dream must meet to be considered lucid, including awareness of the dream state, the ability to make decisions, and understanding the dream's meaning. Later studies by Deirdre Barrett, depending on where you're from, I always say Deirdre for some weird reason, even though I'm not American, and others further explored the nuances of dream awareness and control. Neuroscientist J. Allen Hobson proposed that the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, typically inactive during REM sleep, becomes active during lucid dreaming, allowing the dreamer to recognize that they are dreaming. Other brain areas, like the parieto-occipital junction, and the ponds continue to support the vividness of a dream. That was a whole bunch of hard words to say. The irony is I practiced those words before I could say them absolutely perfect. But of course, when I come to speaking them out loud to an audience, it doesn't work. Let's have a look at some of the practical applications of lucid dreams. Lucid dreaming is a promising tool for treating nightmares by becoming aware they are dreaming. Individuals can confront and change the narrative of their nightmares, reducing the frequency and impact. Lucid dreaming opens up a world of creative possibilities. Artists, writers, and inventors have used lucid dreams to find inspiration, solve problems, and even practice new skills. The ability to access the unconscious mind can lead to breakthroughs in various fields. Imagine if you could learn something new while you're asleep, without any consequences on your tiredness levels. That's actually amazing. I'm not sure that it's specifically saying that that's what you could do. You would probably still need to be able to have an understanding of the subject matter. But I think that's really incredible. I could hope for a world where we could do that in the future. Lucid dreaming could also be a valuable therapeutic tool. Techniques from narrative therapy have been applied to help individuals process and overcome traumatic experiences, improve mental health, and foster personal growth. So, I know the question you're all asking yourselves is, how do I do this? I am going to give you a basic overview of how you do it. Obviously, if you try and do this, it is not my fault if it all goes wrong. There will be another section in a minute about the risks of lucid dreaming. So are you ready to learn how to have a lucid dream? So step number one is you need reality checks. Frequently ask yourself if you're dreaming throughout the day. This habit can carry over into your dreams. Makes sense? You often dream about things that you're thinking about during the course of a day. So if you insert those things into your daily life, you're probably then going to start dreaming about them. Dream journals. Write down your dreams as soon as you wake up. This enhances your dream recall and makes it easier to recognize when you're dreaming. Mnemonic induction. Before you sleep, tell yourself, I will realize I'm dreaming, to set the intention. And the final step, wake back to bed. Wake up after 4 to 6 hours of sleep. Stay awake for a bit and then go back to sleep with the intention of becoming lucid. Simple as that. I'm not sure if lucid dreaming is something I really want to experience. How about you? Well, before you make that decision, why don't we take a look at the risks of lucid dreaming? For some, the initial experience can be disorienting or even frightening. People with certain mental health conditions may find it challenging to distinguish between dreams and reality, potentially exacerbating their symptoms. That is my fear. I won't do it purely because I have a feeling I would go crazy. And this next one is the main reason why I don't. I will explain afterwards. Sleep paralysis is another concern. This phenomenon occurs when a person wakes up during REM sleep but cannot move. It can be accompanied by vivid and often frightening hallucinations. However, understanding the nature of sleep paralysis and learning techniques to manage it can mitigate these risks. I have actually experienced sleep paralysis a number of times. I can tell you it's not nice. It is terrifying. I will talk a little bit more about my personal sleep paralysis experiences in next week's Pod Tales, next week's Ask a Freebie. I cannot speak today. In next week's That's a Freebie Plus section, because next week's Pod Tale subject will be sleep paralysis. So we're going to look at it in some more detail, and then I'll tell you about my personal experiences with it. And for more about lucid dreaming, just head over to the show notes. I'm going to leave some links and some videos in there for you to take a look at. That's a Freebie is made possible by all of you. Without you, it would be just me talking into the ether, and I could only do that for so long. If you want even more of That's a Freebie, you should join That's a Freebie Plus. Just head over to the show notes or thatsafreebie.com, and you can click the link where you can join for just £4 a month, and you get access to the full uncut feed. It's the same as show that you know and you love, but it's got zero edits and zero cuts. This means you hear me planning the show and all the mistakes I make along the way. Do be warned, though, it can contain some spicy language. It doesn't every time, but it is possible. The uncut feed also includes a special That's a Freebie Plus topic every single week. And this week's topic is going to be the book club. I actually forgot that. I had to double check. It's the book club. So if you recall, the first week of, sorry, the first episode of every month, I do a little bit of a book club. It's not a huge in-depth analysis of a book, but I do a little book club. This week's book is Service Model by Adrian Tchaikovsky. And if that's not enough, you get it all early. Like straight away, like as soon as I finish recording this today, I will upload it to the Patreon. So no more waiting for Thursday mornings. You get it as early as I record it. And it's currently Monday, so you'll get it on Monday, which is quite often the case, actually. You also get access to any of the specials that I make before anybody else. And there is an exclusive member Discord server that you can join. And I do also, from time to time, make special episodes that are only available to That's a Freebie Plus members. And if you don't want to, if you don't want to join That's a Freebie Plus, it's okay. You can still help by sharing the episode with, the podcast with everybody else in the world and get more listeners. So then eventually we get more That's a Freebie Plus subscribers. That's how it works. Thank you very much. If you recall, my pick of the week for the next several weeks is going to be a podcast, and it's the podcasts that I listen to in alphabetical order. I did, however, make a tiny, teeny, teeny, tiny blunder. I completely forgot about one of the podcasts. Now, the reason I did this is I was in between podcast applications. I use Castro mostly for my podcasts. But a new version of the app Overcast recently came out, and I wanted to try it out. And so I've been reading the list off of Overcast, and I actually realized there was a couple of podcasts that I forgot to subscribe to in Overcast. And I realized when a new episode came out, because this next one isn't out every single week. It's either every 2 weeks or every month. I'm not too sure, to be honest. I can't say I've noticed, but it's called Analog. And that's Analogue, just in case you couldn't tell what I said, Analog. And it's a podcast featuring Casey Liss and Mike Hurley. And it's almost a tech podcast, but it's also a little bit, they just talk about their lives. Basically, two friends, they get on a podcast together and they have a chat. It's really good. They both work in the tech industry, in that one of them is a tech podcaster, the other one is a tech podcaster and an app developer. So they just have a chat about all things tech, all things app related, their lives, the kind of stuff that's going on in their current businesses. And it's a lovely little podcast. Give it a listen. I will leave a link to the latest episode in the show notes. I realized a little bit too late that I actually forgot to ask the finale question last week. I did the previous weeks and answered that, but I forgot to ask the new one for this week. So you didn't get a preemptive read of this question so that you could come up with your own answers to it. But I don't suppose that matters much, really. So last week's question was supposed to be, do you even know how to use a crossing? And the reason I asked that question is basically, you know where you get the crossings, a pelican crossing. I think it's called a pelican crossing. I'm just going to search that, because you know where you're like, I've known the name of this thing all my life, but suddenly I feel like I don't. Pelican. No, that's not how you spell pelican. Pelican crossing. Let's have a look. Pictures. Yeah, whatever, Google. You could use my current location. That can't go wrong at all, can it? Yeah, pelican crossing, although the images on Google do come up with often the wrong thing, but I'm talking about the stripy crossing where you have the big glowing yellow or orange balls, I don't know what color they are, on either side, the ones where you don't have to press a button to cross. Yeah, you know what I mean. It's a Pelican Crossing. There's a lot of them in the town that I live in. And the thing that we get happen a lot, and I mean it, like every single crossing, right? In fact, just at the end of my road, there are six in one area, right? So you drive, you get through one, you stop at the other, you get through that one, you stop at the other. Like you just, it's constantly stopping. And it's fine, there's a lot of people crossing. So it's not like you're having to stop for no reason. There are always plenty of people crossing. But there are also loads of people that just stand there chatting. And they stand at the start of the crossing. So you pull up, you stop, and they don't move, and they're just having a chat. And you're like, are they going? Are they not? Are they going? Are they not? What do I do? And then one of them will notice what you've done, and they'll wave you across as if to say, what are you stopping for? We're not crossing. Like, don't stand there then. I need this water then. Don't stand there then. Go and stand somewhere else. Or the other one you get is you'll get parents walking with their children. And the parents is like a mile down the road further than the kids. And they get to the crossing and stop and then stand there and wait for the children to arrive. And again, cars are stopping to wait for them. And the problem is these go across a roundabout. So it causes the roundabout to get backlogged all the time. And it's because people are having to stop when someone isn't actually crossing. It's really frustrating. So yeah, please, you know, learn how to use a crossing. And the question for next week's episode is, how do you feel about sitting in the back garden?